How's everyone doing? Enduring the Arctic tundra of 2018. It's been rough, I agree. I know no one said anything, but I agree with you. Thank you, yeah. So over the next couple weeks, with a leap day for President's Day, we're going to do something a little bit different next week. It'll be related, but not the same. We're going to be talking over suffering and hope and the progression of that. And today we're going to focus on suffering. And the progression of suffering to hope comes from Romans 5, 1-5. And it says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So this is saying people who already understand that they're part of God's kingdom, when you know Jesus, this is where you're at. But then he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I don't know about you guys, but when I read rejoice in sufferings, I'm not very like instantly inspired to be like, yeah, oh, right on, let me take on this suffering because I know that there's something good coming. Normally, we feel, at least I don't want to speak for everyone, but we feel kind of like garbage when we're in suffering. But what Paul is telling us to do is that we need to have this different view of suffering, and we need to put on the lens of hope every time that we're in a situation where we're suffering. When we have these moments or these time periods or these seasons of suffering, we need to rest in Jesus. We need to look ahead to this hope that's coming. We need to know that God's going to build character in us, and he's going to give this endurance to get through it, even when we're in the worst of times. And it's easier said than done, right? And it's funny, we mentioned the weather when we met to pray before service. We talked about the weather a little bit. There's I feel like people in the north could kind of get this theology here. We get like, oh yeah, we suffer through the winter and we endure it and we build endurance and then it builds character, and people from the north have a higher level of character, I think. And then we have this hope that these beautiful summer days are coming as long as you stay off the highway and don't see all the construction. That's what it's like, right? We have this hope that like, oh yeah, end of May's coming and it's gonna be 78 degrees and that's the best. But right now, when it's, what, minus 10 out, it doesn't feel so good. And it's hard to rejoice in this suffering knowing that the hope of those days are coming. But that's exactly what Paul's telling us to do with our sufferings that we face. James also talks about this, and he talks about the transition of suffering to endurance, where he says, "Consider it pure joy," that's even further than rejoice in my mind. "Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." So we need to understand that in these moments of suffering, we need to count them as joy. We need to flip the script. We need to understand that there's something about being in Christ that makes us different when we approach suffering. That we know that through these times where we have to persevere and we have to slog through it, that it's going to build this amazing character in us, this Christian character rooted in Christ, and that we'll have the hope of life, both to the full here on earth, because God told us that we're supposed to bring heaven to earth, but also in the hope of life eternal in heaven. And I was thinking through this as far as Bible stories go. as you do when you preach, you think of Bible stories. And there's a ton of people in the Bible who suffer. It's not hard to find people who are in suffering and in turmoil or trials. And the one that I landed on for this week, and I think really, really relates to this like progression, is David. Now, David was a shepherd, just minding his own business, kind of loving life, being kind of pretty cool because he kills bears and fights off lions and does all this cool stuff, saving these little sheep. It's real sweet of him. He loves animals. And he then gets he gets anointed by Samuel to that he's going to be king. And then he ends up with the current king, kind of leading armies. He gets too popular and too beloved by the people, and the king gets jealous, and then he's on the run. And then enter where we're going to talk about today. So David is on the run from Saul, and he is just kind of in this suffering place. He's super distraught. He doesn't know what's coming next, but he knows that he's been anointed to be the king. And I'm just going to read two little quick excerpts from this book. It's called A Tale of Three Kings, A Study in Brokenness. It's super good. It's about the three kings, Saul, David, and Absalom. And it's just a great read. It's literarily. It's got a good narrative to it. It tells the story really well. So you should check it out if you're interested at all. But it says this. It says in about his cave times, it says, everything was being crushed out of him. He sang a great deal and matched each note with a tear. How strange is it not what suffering begets? There in those caves, drowned in the sorrow of his song, and in the song of his sorrow, David became the greatest hymn writer and the greatest comforter of the broken hearts this world shall ever know. And then he talks about how he had to run through fields, and caves were his castles, and pits were his home. And it says this, these were David's darkest hours. We know them as his pre-king days, but he didn't. He may have assumed this was his lot forever. Suffering was giving birth. Humility was being born. By earthly measures, he was a shattered man. By heaven's measure, a broken one. And David had this time when he was on the run, where he was in suffering, and he had to constantly sleep in the worst conditions. But it started to build endurance in him. And though he was already one after God's own heart, it started to build and well up this character in him. And I'm going to read one of the Psalms that actually is attributed to him writing it when he's in the cave, it says. It's Psalm 142. And it says, with my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountiful with me. David was in suffering. He felt like no one was caring for him, but he came back to this hope that he had in God. He came back to this place of refuge that he could rest upon and rely upon. He knew that he was to be king, and I think he always had a glimmer of hope that that was still true. Because he relied upon God and knew that his promises were true and right. But he was suffering. And he had to learn how to take joy in that suffering and to turn it around and to learn to endure. And actually, in the next chapter of the book, it talks about how David, these other people started fleeing from Saul, and they came and sought David, but they saw before them a different man than they had seen before. They saw someone who talked less and someone who loved God more. And that's what happens when we start to take joy in our suffering, knowing that there is hope in God ahead. And though we might not even see it coming, we might not have any view of what actually that looks like, we need to trust in God and know that he's going to light our path when we're resting in him. And if you guys have been coming to Oasis for a while, you know this. I have had my fair share of unfortunate incidents with relationships. We got Valentine's Day coming up, and you guys may have heard some of my bad stories where I got broken up with and I puked, or maybe I got broken up with and I cried a lot, or something along those lines. It felt like suffering, right? It was one of those things, and I was not taking joy in it. sorry. But it was one of those times that I knew I was in suffering. I knew that there was something in me that wanted to be married and just couldn't figure this thing out. They couldn't figure out like why it wasn't clicking for me and why it wasn't working. And then I went like 6 years being completely single, and like I had a few like interests along that way, but nothing even close to panning out to even a second date. It's the sad tale of my love life up here. But I had people in my life constantly telling me, and I know this sounded so cheesy at the time, but it's so true, that if you have this desire to be married, God's going to provide it. It just might not be when you want it. It's like, oh, yeah, God's timing. I get it. It's just sucky. But let me tell you, I can't more understand the type of provision that God has, because when I, at 28, I got married, and my wife is the best. And I used to think, oh, the pastor said that, that's so lame. I want all of you to say that about your wives or your husbands once you're married. Everyone should think that their spouse is the best. That's what we want, right? We want to find that person that aligns with us, that fits with us. And what I realized this week when I was studying through this is that in those times of being single, that 6 years, I had to endure, and I grew in character, and I definitely matured a ton. I know I might not seem mega mature for almost 29-year-old, but trust me, 19-year-old Ben is a far different story. I had people in my life, and in prayer, I knew that God said, I'm going to provide the best wife for you. I'm going to provide the best wife for you. And I was like, I know, God. And that's what we need to do in our times of suffering. We need to go to him, and we need to say, God, I trust in you. Right now, I'm feeling this. How can I find joy in this situation? I want to take joy in this, knowing that your hope lies ahead. It's not about being like someone who enjoys pain and being like, oh yeah, this suffering. That's not taking joy in the suffering. It's taking joy knowing that God has provision ahead in our lives, that God is where we should be rooted. And even if what we thought was going to happen doesn't happen, that we take that we can rest in the knowledge that he loves us. And that if we are rooted in him, we have eternity with him. And that hope is something that nothing can take away. in our times of suffering, and I don't know, and there's probably a ton of different stuff in this room. Deaths in your family, breakups maybe. Maybe your parents, it's pretty rocky for their marriage. Maybe you have siblings or friends that you're really close with that don't know the Lord, or maybe have gone away from Him and it's just killing you. And there's a plethora of other things. And I don't know how to fix all those things, but what I do know is that when we look to God in those things, we will start to be built in Him. We're going to start to endure and build character. And if we can sit in our suffering, knowing and seeing ahead, maybe we don't have any endurance in us in our own right, but we can see a glimmer of hope because we have Christ. That's enough for today. And that's why I like this, the idea of handing out these candies so much, because it's an opportunity for us to participate in this season that's supposed to be all about love and stuff. I went through lots of years of not having that, and it was like everyone talking about it. I'm like, Valentine's Day is the stupidest thing ever. And that's what I always would say, and now I think it's awesome, and it's fun, and it's awesome to, I used to be like, oh, you don't need a day to appreciate your significant other, your wife, or your husband, or whatever. But it's not about that. It's about understanding that, like, it's a day where we get to celebrate our love. And we're going to do that tomorrow, too. But what we can do for the people who might be hurting or might be suffering, or maybe someone who just needs an encouragement, maybe they're in a good relationship and something bad's happening, send them an encouragement. Build them up. Show them that hope. Because a lot of the time, it's not just from within. It's from out here. It's from each and every one of you that you're going to be able to build up people in hope the same way that people are building you up in hope. Because we don't do this suffering alone. It's really cool in Romans chapter 5 kind of pairs up with chapter 8 a little bit, and because it's a section, and we're going to read a portion of that today, and it's talking about future glory and present suffering. Paul says this in Romans 8. He says, starting in verse 18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." We need a rest in that hope, in the hope of the future glory. And we need to know that we don't do it alone, that the Holy Spirit is there and He's speaking and He's living in each and every one of us. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, who's saved in Him, has the Holy Spirit living in them. Let God work in your life. Let your present suffering, you're allowed to complain and to be sad. And we see David so often bemoaning his current state and the state of his soul and how he's on the run or how things are going so horribly. But what he always goes back to is who he rests in and the hope that he has in God. We're going to go into a time of prayer here, but right before we do that, I have a little bit of a challenge for this coming week and really this coming season, and it's this. It's try out Lent or try out fasting. And so the reason why we do Lent for 40 days, starting on Wednesday this coming week, is that we practice kind of what Jesus had in his preparation for his ministry, where he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted by the enemy. And in Lent, we get to participate in that preparatory time, in the time where we're preparing for God going to the cross for us. And it's this time of being able to understand that we don't depend on something or everything in this world, but we depend on him. And that's really what fasting is meant to be. It's supposed to be this sacrifice, this giving up of something so that we can further depend upon God. And a lot of people fast throughout Lent. Some people pick Wednesdays or Fridays if you're so inclined. If you want to fast, you can do just one meal. You could do a couple meals or you can do a whole day. But don't talk about it to everyone. Jesus says, make sure you put on your best clothes and look your best. Because it's not about showing off and telling everyone that you're fasting. It's about understanding that in fasting, we can dedicate this time to Christ. That we can dedicate this thing to Christ, this food that we feel like we depend on, we can give up and show where our dependence comes from. And it's going to feel a lot like suffering if you try fasting. And Lent is giving up something for 40 days. And there's going to be some times where that feels very sufferful too. But know that you're practicing these things because of the coming hope. Because of the hope that we have in Christ, because he went to the cross, he took on all of the sins of the world, he died, and he rose again so that we would have this hope of eternity. As far as giving up something for Lent, there's no formula. Give up something that kind of hurts. That's kind of my... Something that you think is going to take some effort. Something you're going to have to either, let's say if you give up, I give up refined sugar last year. You have to look at every label. And every time I looked at a label, it kind of made me think on Christ. Or it did. Maybe you want to give up social media or one of your social medias, Snapchat or Instagram. And every time you pull out your phone and you go to the app, you think on him and you pray instead. Take this time to prepare for God going to the cross for you, for Jesus going to the cross. And in the suffering of fasting or Lent or giving something up, be excited of the things and the endurance and the character that's being built in those moments, in the way that you're investing in your relationship with the Lord. And know that you're practicing something because of the hope of the whole world that we get to go live out and share with everyone. And we get to be there for everyone else that's in times of suffering. There's going to be some people at the back. If anyone wants to be prayed for about anything, they would love to pray with you. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for your insane love, the way that you have given us far more than we could ever earn. God, that's grace. Thank you for sending your son to this earth. God, I pray that we might approach suffering different than other people around us. God, that we might approach suffering with hope. God, help us to see with that lens, even though we can't see the end. God, build in us a hope that is so strong that it cannot be defeated. God, we pray for your amazing love to shower over this place. And God, we pray for your comfort in the times of suffering and of need. Help us to find our refuge in you. God, we love you, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.